minute. Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 127.
What is up?
Yo, this has been probably the longest it's taken us to sort out from a technical point of view.
I don't care what they say. It's easy to do a show international every single day.
Yeah, that's okay. It's all right. At least we're getting it done, which makes me happy. But just so you know, there may have been 7 minutes of recording before this.
It was possibly the best podcast you'll never hear. That's the name of this episode. The best podcast you'll never hear.
I know. So I guess we recap what we're saying. I was saying at the top of the show that I appreciate Dom Evans, who does the podcast where he interviews radio imaging people, so the people who make all the sounds sound good and shit like that. Man, I've done the worst explanation.
He's an audio producer, and you were saying made the intro to this show. He didn't personally voice it.
I gave him all of these. I gave him these elements, and I was like, mate, can you put a little bit of something on top of it? Make it sound good, mix it up. And he nailed that. That was on, I remember, episode 100 before we had Hamish on.
There hasn't been a massive amount of compliments, and this is nothing to do with Dom. You just put the pieces of wood together and made it look good. But there hasn't been a massive amount of compliments on the intro, which doesn't tell me that it's bad. It just doesn't tell me that anyone's gone out of their way to say it. But I caught my brother walking down the stairs at my office humming and it worked.
It's subtle. It's subtle, right? We're slowly what's it called when you get people under their control? Under your control? What's that called?
Mind? A dictatorship?
I'm doing a thing with my hands. No, not a dictatorship.
What's puppet the master.
No, I'm not a puppet master. It's the thing that we're going to... I'm going to put you under a hypnosis. We're hypnotizing people.
Yeah.
Through... If you actually slow it down really slowly, it says... I don't know. We don't even have anything to sell. I was going to say, buy our DVDs.
Yeah, we're definitely not selling DVDs. I was actually talking to Craig Harper today, and this is not... He asked how the podcast was going, but my point being that this is nothing about wanting to talk about our podcast, but how you gauge how something's going. And a lot of the time it's even, I mean, business, it's money coming in. You could look at videos as views to your video, or, you know, it's like there's the most go-to metric within anything you're doing. And it's weird because it changes across everything, because it's like, if something feels good, maybe that's the better metric than the numbers that are coming in, because over time it will equate to something great. And
I think the only metric that we have is that it happens every single day.
Yeah.
And so we realize that we've got a level that we want to get to in regards to entertainment factor, how interesting we are. But at the moment, We're really at the stage that people are when they're trying to lose weight, which is like we're literally going for a walk every single day. And we're just trying that.
Well, you got to start somewhere, and you can't jump steps. Like, you can't expect something to be awesome from day one. And it might be. There's no assurity in that it won't be or it will be. But chances are, anything you're doing.
Yeah.
Takes so long. We're talking, I was, Craig Harper, who was on the show, episode 90, I think it was something, I don't know, one of the 127 that we've done. but yeah, we're talking, like, he can put on a conference or a workshop and get 700 people there. And that's like, it sounds, you know, you go to it and it feels flawless. It feels like, there's not that much effort's been put in. Look at him up there, he's just talking. But then it's like, on the other side of that is like, that is actually so hard. The one thing going to all these events and filming them is like, fuck, it is an absolute mission to actually get that many people to something. Like, it is so hard to actually make someone go out of the way to go to somewhere to watch you do something. It's fucking phenomenal.
I think that the other interesting thing that happens that I've been observing over the years is how other people's success or doing something rubs off on other people in a good way, but also in a way that almost makes them feel like they have done something themselves. So I've like worked at companies where employees will say, oh, I think it should be done this way or that way, as if they built this multi-million dollar business.
Yeah.
And what they're forgetting is the person that's making the decisions, the founder or the CEO or whoever it is, they have actually done it. Like, it's if people forget those sorts of bits. And it's the same thing with going to those types of events. I think there's a lot of people that run events after seeing another event being run. And they bomb because they just, they think that they've done it, that because they've gone to an event or they've, people who watch movies think that they could make movies. It's like there is a huge jump between being a consumer of something and actually doing something.
Oh, 100%. There's time, trust, like everything you've done previously, 20 years of experience that might, you know, attribute to why you can even get anyone anywhere. It's like the people that have come to you and I, and I've had a few of them, and it's the ones who want to create an online course, and you know the stats, or the math works out really great. 1,000 times by $30. If I sell it for $30, there's a lot of money.
Yeah, $30,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to go there because I didn't know the math. But my point being, it's like fuck. That is simple, but the hardest thing you could possibly do.
Yeah, well, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work out like that, right? It's just there's a huge... And we've been really realistic, I think, with even, say, the podcast metrics about, like, expecting way less.
Yeah.
But when I was on my... I went on a long walk around Serrano yesterday, and I was, like, thinking... The whole time I was thinking about what you and I are doing next with our business, all that sort of thing.
Mm.
And I was thinking one of the filters that I think about is learning fast, but growing steady, like steadily, rather than people, like I think people want to grow really fast. They want like the success really fast. But the problem with that is you haven't gone through the whole process to learn all the different things. And it's way easier to, it's way easier to end up losing that, right? Versus just growing it. It's like I was thinking about, it's like age, right? You can be more mature, you can learn more things than an 18-year-old, but if you're 18 years old, you can't all of a sudden rock up and say you're 25. It's just like the only thing we're working with is time in that regard, and you can't, there's nothing that can make you skip ahead of that time.
Well, it's an even playing field with the equation of time. Although when I was 15, I was rocking up, and I was 21 according to my fucking fake ID. and it worked.
What do you think about, I was reading a thread on Twitter about doing free work. And there's this massive movement at the moment where even MTV or their parent company had a class action against them, which they lost. So the class action actually won. They had to pay money to a bunch of just to be Bree. Can you make sure that you're... Bree's currently standing naked and I'm on FaceTime with Tommy, but you're fine there, but I wanted to
no,
make
there's
it
no,
clear that...
Your reception's gone shit out, so I can't see anything.
Okay, that's what you're saying, but you're a pervert. So MTV was basically sued for having interns working for free.
Interesting.
And all these people are saying, fuck free work, free work's the worst. Yet people are happy to spend a shit ton of money every single year on college. What's your vibe on free work?
It's got its shelf life, but then you and I have done so much free work in our time, but it gets to a point where there has to be massive value in it for me. I'm doing something for free for somebody, but it was my initiative this week, and I made it clear that the thing that I'm doing is worth $2,500 minimum is what I would charge, and I would rather do it for free than $250 or whatever, but they weren't offering that. So for me, the value's high in it, in that I will have creative control to it, and I will then, as a good gesture, and pass it on to them. And it's like, I'm not even doing it because of that. I think I'm being selfish in some ways, but offering value on the other side of it for them. So it does even out the selfishness versus the value that you're bringing. So, I think it's got its shelf life doing free work. Go on.
Yeah, well, one of the things that they're talking about is that if you have the ability to do free work, that we're in a privileged position. So they're sort of saying, okay, if you can do free work, it means that you've got a roof over your head, you've got food on the table. And so the thoughts around not allowing free work is that what I was reading was that they say free work is a something for a group of privileged people who don't need to necessarily make money to live.
Yeah.
But I just think that my view on it is probably the best way to get out of the poverty cycle would be to be doing free work. Because if you're getting paid for it, it's always going to be those menial tasks. Mm. And it's going to be very transactional. Whereas I think about, I grew up in the burbs. I didn't have a family that was in media. I didn't have, I didn't have any contacts in that regards. But doing, a course at the Victorian College of the Arts and doing all these sorts of things and doing heaps of free work and going in to the city, that was invaluable. So I feel like it's almost a missed opportunity.
So you know how I told you that I got an email from a guy named Mason, and the subject line was, I want to work for you for free, Tommy. And I thought, perfect opportunity to exploit someone for free. No, I didn't. I appreciated his email, and he's coming in tomorrow. He came in last week. But I kind of said, he was kind of communicating to me what he wanted to do for me, but I kind of was like, okay, I get that, but what do you want out of this? Because I thought that's really important. If someone's willing to do something for you for free, there's an agenda there, which is okay. The agenda just could be, I want experience. It doesn't have to be, I want to one day get money out of you. But I think it's, something interesting that he told me was his dad, because he's 18 and he was, started going to uni, and now has kind of pulled the pin because he said it was lame and not progressive, the business course that he was doing. But his dad was blown away that he was doing things for free for people, and he couldn't quite understand. And maybe it's generational, that he was like, why are you helping this person for free? Which is one way to look at it, but the other side is, I know how powerful it is doing stuff for somebody for free. It's like when Craig Harper, I've known him for 10 years, but I haven't been close with him like I am now, considering one of my really good mates. But I remember I just started my production business nearly 3 years ago, and I pulled him up on Facebook, and I'd seen his content going up, and I messaged him. I said, hey Craig, it's Tommy, hope you're well, mate. I've just started my production company. I love the content you're putting out. I would love to help you out. I'm not looking for money. I just really believe in the content that you're creating. And so if I can be of any help, let me know. And he messaged me back. He said, I'm sitting here at my computer looking through my contacts, working out who could help me with video stuff. What's your number? Which was
great.
Serendipitous, like you'd never believe. And now we've created a friendship beyond our, exchange business-wise. We're really good mates. We have lunch all the time. And so I saw that, but it evolved from there. And so if you're looking at that, he gave me an opportunity, and he gave me an opportunity that trust was involved, and he allowed me to be creative. And it's shaped a lot of the content I've created from those opportunities. So doing stuff for free can give you a huge opportunity.
Yeah, and it's also it's a value transaction.
Mm.
I think that you need to look at it like rather than, because I just think about the numbers. I'm like, if you were to pay an intern $10 an hour or $20 an hour or whatever it is, like what would that do for their life? Like I actually much prefer saying, if you're really passionate about this, do 2 or 3 days of free work and then, you know, work a job, work 2 jobs to make it happen.
Mm.
And I think I even think about like, sorry, I'm still clearly sick. The podcast, right, what we're doing is people really quickly, surprisingly jump to sort of how are you going to monetize? What's the, you know, how are you making money off this? And I guess we're in a unique position where we know that we can do this for free, for fun, maybe one day that we make direct money from it, but we would be happy doing 1,000 episodes where we're not making money off it. And that's because we know that we can make a bunch more money making video content and telling stories and doing that type of thing.
Well, you can only get good at something by doing it shit to start with. And if you're getting paid while you're working it out, you're probably pulling the wool over people's eyes. And I mean, I've probably done that in the early days because it's been out of alignment with, you know, my ability to sell something and my ability sell in something, a product, versus my actual ability to create that thing. But then it definitely irons out. Like I've seen this growth in what I've done in the first year into the second year kind of dip down, where it's like aligning because I'm understanding the value that I actually need to bring for the money that I'm asking for. And so when it evens out, it makes you know that if you are charging for it, there has to be a lot of value that you are bringing. It's just more promises. Money just brings a promise, right? It's a promise of delivering something. It's a promise of value in some way.
Well, yeah, I think that, and what we're doing is still a promise. I think that us doing it every day is the one and only promise that we've really made.
Yeah.
So as long as we're doing that, I'm really happy. But I think even with Patreon, which is a website where people can back you, they can basically give you a little bit of money every month, almost like a subscription.
Mm.
And you pick different tiers. And I've seen podcasts do that where, say, they have 25, 30 backers, and say if those backers are giving $10 a month, that's bringing in, say, $250-$300 a month. Mm. And for me, if you do the calculations, what you're losing in regards to, I feel like if you ask people to pay for something, then they've got skin in the game. They're expecting, they can get really pissed off when they're like, the audio was bad on this episode or stuff like that, where it's like, it's not worth the cost of a Telstra bill to me.
Yeah. What were you saying recently? As if it's free, like we're still doing it as if we're not making money for it. I might be getting that totally wrong.
The idea just being that like we're doing it as if it is the biggest show, right? We're doing it as if, I mean, it's the paradox. It's we're doing it as if there's a million people listening, but we're also doing it as if it's you and I in a room having a conversation.
Yeah, and then there was another bit around the, it's like, so if you see a lot of these creators, they start getting money in sponsors, it changes everything, right? And so if you could not monetize something and make that, work out that equation somewhere else, it's more powerful because you're doing it just because you love it, not because you're getting paid to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's it's definitely the direction that we're going into. And it's interesting, right? Because I think that we're playing in different models. The model of, having a client-based business where it's a easy transaction where a company comes to you and they say, we are commissioning you to create this piece of work. And then, you know, they'll give you a brief in some cases and you sort of do that versus where I guess we're wanting to play, which is doing, doing original content and being paid by clients to bring our creativity because I'm not interested in being a commodity. I'm not interested in being a cameraman for hire, or I think that we have a lot more to offer than that.
100%. How have you been? I haven't really asked you this. Like, I know we've talked about you disconnecting from what's happening here, but I could imagine if I was in your place where you haven't been running your business like you normally do, you haven't been in the day-to-day, like you slip into a Melbourne. Have you had any shifts in your thinking in terms of, you know, what you want to do or be or create, like from a career point of view? Has it been worth it, like disconnecting from those elements of business and everyday life?
I think that the biggest thing is not compromising in some regards. So I think that we always have these intentions. I've started businesses before where I'm going to create original content, but it's been sort of whilst I've said it's plan A, it's really been plan B because I've needed to make money and I've gone into client type stuff. So I think that the biggest thing for me is constantly reminding me what it is that I actually want and not compromising on that. So saying if creating original content, building this type of career and lifestyle is what I want to do, then it doesn't make sense to be getting into the grind too hard on the other stuff because it's the wrong direction.
I've been loving that book. I'm like 2 hours in to 2 hours audio reading. I've got another eight to go of Small Giants, which essentially he talks about challenging the norm on growth of a business. So it's like you build the business, you get lots of staff, or you franchise, or you do an IPO, you list on the stock exchange, you get outside capital. So there's all these like traditional methods of growth in a business, but it's like he goes and investigates all these businesses that have at some point knocked back opportunities to have exponential growth or sell out for $100 million. And it's so fascinating because I've been so caught up in my world, and I think about every business I've had. I've had like four or five, and all I've thought was start a business, you grow it, you try and scale it, you have this pain of working out how to get more people on board or sell, you know, more product or get more employees. But it's like
more clients, more employees, more work, bigger office.
Yeah. And so it's, I've just been, it's like there is actually another way, and all it takes is you to think about on the other side what the success really looks like. And fuck, you literally hear so many people banging on about it. It's like work out what your version of success is and then go for that. And it sounds so simple, but it's like it's so easy, and I'm super guilty of being caught up in creating success that looks like someone else's, you know?
Yeah. And it's about being clear on, I think that for most people, they don't know what it is that what success looks like for them. And so for us, it's taken a bunch of businesses and learnings and working from home, working from cafes, having an office, sharing an office, all of these different combinations to then say, actually, I'm going to take these six things that I really like and double down on that.
Yeah, yeah. It's what Hamish Blake said on episode 100. It's like what you're doing right now might not be the thing where you end up. It's the thing that you need to do to get to where you want to end up in the end. It's like it's hard to swallow sometimes though, because when you were doing your Media Flex business or your next one.
Exactly.
If you were to think about that and get, it would be almost like numbing, paralyzing to think, oh, but hang on, if this isn't actually it. But I think as you get further, like where I'm now, I feel more convinced about where I'm going than I did the previous one. But at that point, it felt like the right thing to do in the moment. So it's like, it's a funny existence.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think is the, if people are listening who are at that sort of solo operator stage, you know, they're freelancing. What do you think are the biggest traps that, you know, obviously for a lot of people who are freelancers, having multiple employees is a bit of a pipe dream. Maybe even having an office is a pipe dream. They might be doing, you know, they might be getting a nice salary a year through their, you know, doing their freelance work. What do you think is probably the biggest misconception that you've come to realize?
I think it's the misconception is the way you think you can, you need to grow your business, and challenging that. You've challenged me heaps on that in, you know, a year ago. And I think it was the right thing to challenge you. It felt fucking uncomfortable for me to think about. But I almost knew, it's almost like listening. Fuck, it's like relationships. You actually know if it's not right. It's you end up just lying to yourself that, yeah, I really like this chick. But no, I've done it plenty of times. And the same with business. I feel it's like I kind of know. And it's also like looking at what rewards you. Like, I think the best thing about you and I going into a business together, it's like, it's been lonely doing it by myself. And so it's like those other people around you, that helps. Like, so I have my space and I've got people in there, and it's nice to have people around, but they're not sharing my vision of what I want to create. And so I guess it's not saying you should go and find someone and go into business with, but thinking about what it is that you want from the business. And I think for me it's like sharing the journey with somebody that's aligned with where I want to go. And
I think the other thing too is it is like a relationship, in the sense of we didn't go into doing the Daily Talk Show with the idea that we're going to have a business together at the end of it, right? And so it is that thing of, I think that what probably happens a lot is people think about the thing. And I think that this is probably the biggest risk that we have at the beginning, is getting excited about having this new business and focusing too much on the business rather than the fact of, like, what I was thinking about a lot yesterday was actually the things that we want to do, what the business is going to enable us to do. So it's like creating original content and going out and making that, versus I think a lot of people can get stuck in, you know, especially with the sort of the startup world. It's like, yeah, I've got a startup and I've got my Slack, and now, you know, this is all, you know, it's it's that versus actually doing the thing. And so for us, the Daily Talk Show is already that thing. This is a constant. And we'll do what we're doing with this podcast within a video context and within a broader storytelling context as well.
Yeah, which totally makes sense. But why you don't do it before? And I think that's why it's like with your own business, if you've got like a solo operating, it's like you need to grind through all these hard feelings of not, you know, not sure how to grow it, not sure what I want to do. It's like it all adds to the next thing, which it sucks. It's annoying. But for me, I've got to like what I'm doing enough to get through that. Because if you weren't actually in love with the thing that you were doing, and, you know, you might be selling socks, but you're actually in love with marketing, so that's keeping you in the sock business. But it's like you need to, I think that helps you weather the storm of what we're talking about.
Well, I think the biggest self-criticism I've had with me is that I've never stayed on anything long enough. I've always, you know, had these fleeting projects.
Yeah.
And I think that if I look back on it, that was all context building. It was me realizing early on, this isn't actually, I could never sort of see super long term with these types of things.
Yeah.
Whereas I think I'm now at the stage where, you know, I had a blog called Melbourne Geek. I still get emails today with companies trying to get me to review their products. Like, I've had lots of different cracks at things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, it's again that paradox, which is people will stay in something too long when it's not right, but they'll also end something way too quickly. So it's this constant balance of of using your gut instinct and understanding yourself and you know, what drives you. But I mean, the biggest thing with this podcast, which what it's taught me, is just it is the showing up every day. Yeah. It is the, even, you know, over the last 127 episodes, there's definitely been times where I've thought this is a bit of a grind, but I know that it is, that is the fleeting moment. It's almost working out which is the fleeting moment versus which is the constant. And so it's the same with relationships. If you have fleeting moments of arguments and stuff, that doesn't define your relationship.
Mm.
If the constant is, you know, happiness and joy and fulfillment, then you know, you shouldn't end something because of a fleeting moment.
Yeah. And it's weird what we stick at. Because I don't know the equation. Like, I don't know why the fuck we've done, been able to do so many of these. And you can say that it's been enjoyable and we're, but I don't know. It's like, I don't feel like I quite get it, even if I try and be logical about it. Deconstruct. Yeah, and deconstruct it. I don't know why. It's like, yeah, it's dead. I mean, one thing, having someone else to be accountable to is, so there's a bunch of different things that you can definitely pinpoint, but I still don't know, because I could easily have just gone, I can't be fucked today, you know, so many times.
I think that this is the thing that's interesting, is it's the it's like when I had this moment of joy 6 months ago where I started, I'd always push back on doing my washing. I was always like, I'd always be reluctant and I'd put it off. And I just started, because my excuse was, I've always got so much that I need to do. I've got all these big things that I need to do. And what I realized was doing the smaller stuff, you know, it's that whole sort of piece of advice of making your bed. But the thing that I came to realize was the small stuff turns into the big stuff. And it's like when I was, you know, putting my socks on the line and doing all of that sort of stuff and just being consistent with it, I felt really, really good. And I think that it is focusing on the small stuff. I think that with this podcast, if we're to use this, just because everyone knows, you know, who's listening to this would know about this, that maybe been part of the journey, I think it's been, we have had pretty low expectations around it. With this, again, a paradox, low expectations with a high idea of where it could eventually go if we just keep putting in the work.
Yeah. It's the Jordan Peterson advice. Clean your room, man. Put your shoulders back. Stand up straight.
That's a very good impersonation. Yeah. He also coughs a lot like us. He'd be great on our... I've actually been thinking... Have you noticed that? He does it... like the devil's coming out of him or something. Dude, like he's actually an alien.
It's because the dude's speaking 5 hours straight per day on podcasts about serious topics.
It's really... I don't know. There's something a bit villain-like about him, don't you think?
Yeah,
but you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, Joe.
I want him on the podcast. I mean, I'd love to sit down for an hour with that dude. It'd be great.
Yeah, I feel... Yeah, it would be, very interesting.
I'd definitely wear a Woof Woof t-shirt. He'd appreciate that. Good to see you're taking your white privilege. Seriously.
Well, it's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. I don't think we've had... many emails come in, but we had one from Cindy, my cousin. She had a good morning listening on the train in Melbourne, her third last day working in Melbourne. She's just up to 113, so it's going to be a while until she hears this one. But also, Sean tweeted me with this great link of Italian hand gestures and what they mean. It's called the Secret Italian Hand Gestures Revealed by Daily Mail. So
try them out and get Breed a video.
We'll see how we go.
If it's the one where you run your fingers underneath your chin at somebody, don't do that one. That's probably telling them to get fucked.
All right, man. Well, everyone, it's the Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. If you've listened this far, it means that you might give us a 5-star review through the podcast app. through Apple, iTunes, all of that stuff. I'm curious if anyone's listening. One thing I wanted to know, Tommy, if anyone's listening through the new Android. Android has its own podcast app now.
I don't know
whether they do reviews, but I'm curious as to if people are using it, how it is, what's it like. Mm. I've been thinking about moving to an Android eventually, maybe a Pixel.
You
or
do
something.
That, our business will crumble.
We won't have any iMessage. We won't be able to do anything.
All right, mate. I'll speak to you. I really feel like this episode is literally recording the majority of conversations that we have that aren't on the podcast. This is just like what we've been talking about every single day for the last like 8 months, 10 months, a year.
Yeah, I know. I wonder. Like, it is interesting. I think that the hard thing about doing this show, and we've spoken about it, is when I wake up in the morning and we jump into it and all that sort of thing, and the difference versus just being present. And I think that we can both get a bit showman-y with it, where we get a bit sort of ratty out. Oh, Tommy, what's been happening today? Oh, Josh, tell me, I'll tell you about me sauna.
Well, if they've got that criticism, they can fuck off, because this is so hard doing it remote.
Yeah, exactly. I know, we're getting there. It's a daily talk show, everyone. I hope you have a good one. Love you. Bye.
Yeah, except you'll love you at the end. That was weird as fuck.